Take your Bibles tonight, please. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 21 for the message tonight. Proverbs chapter 21. I want to read one verse, please. And that's the first verse of this chapter. The scriptures tell us the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I want to speak to you tonight on some things that I think as your pastor that you need to consider and you need to think on. What I'm going to say tonight is probably not going to be accepted by every person sitting here. And I know that should the IRS find out what I'm going to say tonight, they would not be happy. When it's convenient, our government has used the separation of church and state, however it best suits their agenda. And I don't know if you realize, I don't know if you've ever read anything about this, but when the Capitol building was built down in Washington, D.C., every Sunday morning, they had a couple of thousand people that came and sat in the rotunda, and they had church. There was a church in the Capitol building. As a matter of fact, as time went on, in the early 1800s, there were three separate churches that met in the Capitol building. Now, can you imagine something like that happening today? I don't know if you've thought of this or if you've ever read this, the way they are changing history. You probably have, a lot of you have not heard this. But of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence, something like 18 of them were preachers. They had gone to Bible college and they were ordained preachers, and they preached the Word of God. One of the greatest preachers that our country has ever known was a fellow by the name of George Whitefield. And George Whitefield traveled the length and breadth of this country back in the 1700s. And he was a full-time evangelist and traveled the length and breadth of America, of what was America at that time, the eastern, the northeast, the mid-Atlantic states, and the south. And he proclaimed the Word of God and kept Christians in the know about all of the stuff that was going on, that and most historians give George Whitefield, a preacher, the most credit when it comes to bringing about the revolution that brought America into existence and the separation from Great Britain. And over the last, I don't know, 70, 80 years, well, since Madwoman O'Hare, this whole notion with the threat hanging over every church, and of course it doesn't apply to every church, liberal churches can do it, it's not a problem, but conservative churches cannot under fear of losing their tax exemption, cannot use the pulpit to say anything against what is going on in the country. I have a lot of problems with that. And to be honest with you, I really don't care what the policy is right now. I think our country is more important than tax-exempt status. So I'm going to share some things with you tonight. As your pastor, this is what we believe. This is what our church believes. This is what our Constitution says we believe. And I think that 1 month out of the election that you as the church needs to know just exactly what's going on. And so I'm going to share that with you tonight. And I'm sure that not everybody here is going to agree with what I say. That's fine. You have a right to be wrong. That's fine. Now, that was a joke. That was a joke. And but I am going to share some things with you tonight that I think you need to consider, and that the news media is not about to tell you. I don't know if I'm sure you know that the major news outlets in this country, I'm talking about ABC and NBC and CBS and CNN and all the others, they are complicit. They are in this president's back pocket, and they're doing all they can to make him look good and to get him reelected. Please understand that. So you're not going to hear the truth coming out of our media today. Sad, but true. Now, I want us to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. And then I want to speak to you on the subject, will America please wake up? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for our time tonight. I pray you'll bless what we say. And Lord, help all of us to realize the importance of this election. Help us to realize our country is at stake here and our freedoms are at stake. And Israel's security and freedom is at stake. And Father, I pray that we will have keen minds and hearts to understand and to see the world in the big picture, and not just to see how things necessarily relate to me or to a certain group, but Father, to see the overall picture of what is going on in this country. I pray for you to help me to say what I need to say, and help me to say it in a clear way and in a precise way. And Lord, may when we get to the end of the message and we put things into perspective, Lord, may we realize just how soon our Lord's return is for his people. Father, bless and help us tonight. And I pray that you will be honored and glorified in the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to get to the text in just a little bit. But I want to basically lay a little foundation here to get you to see what I think is happening in our nation. In 1 month, the people of America will go to the polls to vote in what is probably the most important election in our nation's storied history. Amen. Do we stay on the same course towards socialism, progressive liberalism, economic failure, social demise, and foreign policy weakness, or do we take preventative steps and stop all of this ridiculous anti-constitutional activity and hopefully steer our country back from the brink of destruction? Amen. Those are our choices. It's just that plain. It's just that simple. I have Before I came here, my wife and my family and I lived in a suburb of Chicago. For 5 years, we lived in Joliet, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. And I remember how absolutely shocked I was when we moved up there at the ultra-liberal political machinery that was in the city of Chicago as we watched on the evening news its magic performed every day. I could not believe. I mean, I came out of little old West Virginia. And, I mean, when we moved to Chicago, I just could not believe the machine that is the government of the city of Chicago. It is a government, and I learned this, I saw this, but it is a government, it was and it still is, a city government run by thugs, by strong arm tactics, by smear, and by corruption. 3.5 years ago, that thuggery moved into Washington, D.C. And now today, we can hardly recognize our country. We have one more month of backstabbing, filthy, dirty politics, smear campaigns, lies, deceptions, I mean blatant lying, before the people of America cast their votes. If you believe the polls, and let me just say to you, I don't. Amen. I don't believe the polls. And the reason I don't is because I've been reading the fine print. And all the polls last week, which were designed by the media to get you discouraged so you won't go vote, those polls said, up, Obama's up now. Obama's up. And then I got to reading the fine print. And what they do is they call, just for the sake of example, they'll call 100 people and they'll ask them who they're going to vote for. Now, what you and I don't know is that they've pre-planned from registration who they're going to call. And they'll call 45 Democrats, and they'll call 30 Republicans, and they'll call 15 independents. And then it comes out that Obama's got a 1-point lead. That's deception. That's deception. And so, point being, you cannot believe the polls. You cannot believe what they're saying. If you believe the polls, and I don't, the race right now is tied. I don't believe that. I think there is still, I hope, there is enough common sense left in America. Enough decency. Enough integrity left in America that folks are going to come out in droves and do the right thing and vote this bunch of socialists out of Washington, D.C. I hope. From day one, this administration has failed in every area. Yes. On David Letterman, I did not see it. That's way past my bedtime. But I did read about it the next day. On David Letterman, Obama said that he was the president of the whole nation, of all of America. Now, when I read that, I came unglued. What a joke. What a joke. If that was true, he would not have rammed that health care bill down the throats of America. 62% were against that bill. And they rammed it through. They shoved it through with all of its taxes and its regulations and its mandates and its redistribution policies. They rammed it through. So how dare he say that he is representing all of America? I take issue with that. The foreign policy of this administration has been a disaster from day one. 3.5 years later, we see clearly this president has aligned himself with radical Islam. He has aligned himself with radical Islam. We have American embassies now overrun by protesters, torched, our flags set on fire, and the Islamic flags flying in their place. We have an ambassador who is dead, murdered by these terrorists. There were three others, two Navy SEALs and another one that there's been a lot of question as to what his role was. Why was he there? I got a question I'd like to ask the administration. If our embassy is in Tripoli, why was our ambassador and these three men in Benghazi on 9/11? Nobody's asked that question. That's strange, isn't it? Now, I don't know, but I have a theory. I think that my theory is this. We gave ammunition to the rebels in Libya. I think we gave weapons to those people. Amen. To overthrow Gaddafi because they wanted Gaddafi out. And I think that what this ambassador and what the two Navy SEALs and the other guy were doing was trying to run down some of those weapons. And that's why they were killed. Nobody's asking that question. The foreign policy is a mess. And when this happened, this administration came out and for one solid week lied to the American people, saying that it was a spontaneous protest when they knew that it was planned, calculated, schemed, and was nothing short of murder by design. The administration told us, or has told us, that since Osama bin Laden was dead, the war on terror is basically over. Which means if this burning of our embassy in Benghazi and the killing of our ambassador was anything but a spontaneous random protest, it would be clear the administration had failed again in the area of foreign policy. They knew the truth, and they blatantly lied to the American people for an entire week. That poor ambassador had no chance. And now he's dead. What are we doing about that? In this president's 3.5 years, he has yet to visit Israel. He's been all over the Middle East, and he's bowed before every one of those kings, but he's not been to the Middle East to visit Israel. His Middle Eastern policy fueled the Arab Spring, where allies were dethroned and Islamic radicals took their place. The Islamic Brotherhood has been to the White House. They've got an open door now. Terrorist. They've got an open door. And President Morsi, who is the head of Egypt now, Islamic Brotherhood Party, blatant enemy of Israel, has called for their destruction over and over and over, is coming to the White House in the middle of this next month, in October. And yet when Benjamin Netanyahu, who is coming to America, calls and says, I need to meet with the president refuses to meet with him. Shameful. Shameful. He's too busy campaigning with the Hollywood elite, with the harlots and starlets of Hollywood, that he hadn't got time to be with the president of Israel. I personally think his policies are helping radical Islam and hurting Israel. He told Israel they need to redraw their borders. Thank God Netanyahu stuck his finger in his face and said, that's not happening. Amen. He told Israel, you need to go back to pre-1967 boundaries, which would give Israel about 6 miles. 6 miles in its northern border. Shameful. It seems that everything, every decision made by this president hurts Israel and helps radical Islam. Have you noticed that, or am I the only one? I read an article on a blog. I guess that's what it was. It said blog at the top, so. But I read an article on a blog the other day where the author spoke of sleeper cells. How that Al-Qaeda had sleeper cells all over America. And they're just waiting for word from Al-Qaeda. And then they'll be unleashed upon America in a vicious way. And this fellow went on to say that he believes there's a sleeper cell that moved into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue 3.5 years ago. Strong words. But when you see how every single decision has benefited the radical terrorist and has hurt Israel, it makes you wonder, does it not? Without a doubt, all of this looks mighty suspicious. Now, we know that Bible prophecy shows the focus of the world upon Israel and Jerusalem at the final battle of Armageddon. We know, because we learned it here, we know that God names the countries, calls them by name, who will be confederate against Israel in the last days. When you read the Old Testament prophets and God calls the names of nations that will come against Jerusalem and the Jews with the intent of destroying them, the names of the nations are identified in the Bible. They are Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Egypt, the Sudan, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Turkey, Gaza, all identified by the Holy Spirit of God through divine inspiration. And the one thing that all of these nations have in common with each other is that they are all Islamic nations. Coincidence? No. God's plan is coming together. I'm going to say something right now that you say, well, you mean what you said hadn't been harsh? It almost seems that this administration is out to collapse America. You know, it just almost seems like that's their goal. From day one, it would appear that this administration has been doing everything in its power to collapse our nation economically through debt. 51% of Americans are now on some kind of government assistance. Hundreds of thousands of jobs in the last 3.5 years are gone. They're gone. They just are no more. Why? Because of regulations and because of environmental policies, jobs have simply disappeared. And these hundreds of thousands of jobs used to have people that worked those jobs. What do they do now? Well, they have to either go try and find new work, good luck, or they have to go on government welfare rolls. Folks, our debt is over $16 trillion. This president has accumulated more debt than all of the previous presidents who succeeded him combined. In 3.5 years, he has accumulated $5 trillion worth of debt all by himself. Now, folks, you know me in math. But even I know that $5 trillion cannot be sustained. You cannot keep going at that rate. Karen says, honey, we can't be overdrawn. I still have checks. Right? Now I'm really in trouble. Well, somebody needs to take the checkbook away. We can't sustain this, folks. This is going to collapse our country. I mean, $16 trillion. And it seems almost like they're trying to collapse America and America's economy. Now, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, you would do that because you don't believe in this democratic system of government that we have. You don't believe in representative government. That's why he can sit in Washington, D.C. and by executive order say whatever he wants, do whatever he wants to do. Because he doesn't believe in our system. Why would anyone collapse our country's economy? Well, maybe so that once it has collapsed, it can be reorganized and reshaped in their worldview, which is socialism. We can be like Russia, where the government takes what we have and doles out just enough for all of us to survive. Folks, I've been to Russia. We don't want that system. I've been there. I don't know what he is thinking because he never tells us the truth about what he wants. He's good at using cliches. But it's all explained in vague general terms under the guise of everyone getting a fair shake. A fair shake. I thought if you don't work, you don't eat. But everybody needs a fair shake according to this bunch. And I want you to know, folks, that this progressive liberal socialism has been tried over and over and over across the world, and it never has worked. It has never worked, and it will never work. You cannot legislate the poor into prosperity by legislating the wealthy out of prosperity. The government cannot give to anybody anything it doesn't first take from someone else. You see, the government does not create wealth. The government only taxes and takes your wealth so it can do what it does. So what one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. And this system is not how our country was established. We established, our forefathers established our system by design. Now, listen very carefully. When half the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it doesn't do them any good to work because somebody else is going to get what they worked for, that's the beginning of the end for any country. You want me to say that again? I don't know if I can. When half the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it does them no good to work because someone else is going to just get what they worked for, that's the beginning of the end for any nation. And this is where this administration has brought us. Now, look at the text. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Folks, there's one thing you can be sure of. God's in control of this whole mess. God is not sitting up in heaven watching our country self-destruct and is caught by surprise by it. King Solomon said, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. This is just my opinion, but since I'm the one doing the preaching, I'm going to go for it. I think the world stage is set up like never before for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away his church so that the judgment of the tribulation period can begin. The radical Islamists have become so emboldened under Obama, and the cry from every Islamic nation is the cry for the formation of an Islamic caliphate and the formation of the United States of Islamic Nations. They want a caliphate because only a caliphate can give sanction and credence to their Messiah. He can't just, boom, appear. He has to be gathered. He has to be approved. He has to be sanctioned by the caliphate. As I stand here and preach Bible prophecy to you, every imam in the Middle East stood 2 days ago on Friday, and they preached to a whole lot bigger crowds than what we've got all across this country. They preached on, just 2 days ago, Islamic prophecy, and they called for every Muslim to keep the fires burning, to keep the terror coming, and to protest and hate the great Satan, that's us, with every fiber of their being. You say, well, why would they preach against us? Listen, folks, they know that America is the only nation who can stop radical Islam from global control. They know that. Yet this administration, for the last 3.5 years, has openly attacked Christianity, stood with Islam, but openly attacked Christianity. They have openly taken a stand against anything Christian. Stood against everything the Catholic Church has had in its tenets about birth control. And they mocked and they've ridiculed the church while standing with Islam and treading the First Amendment rights of anyone who dares say, write, or video anything critical of Islam. Blaming this whole thing on a video that has been out for months, but just so happened on 9/11, it got them all mad. Yeah, right. Had the audacity to go to Google and tell Google to take the video down. Whatever happened to free speech in this country? Thank the Lord, Google told them, forget it. We're not taking it down. Now, I think it's possible, folks. Don't forget, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God's in control. And I think it's possible that the last 3.5 years have just been all a tool in the hands of God to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it's possible that this administration has been a tool to judge America and to accomplish God's plan. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen. Even if Romney and Ryan win, do you think we can be salvaged? I don't think so. I believe the only thing that can turn this country around is for America to get on its face before God Almighty. And I don't see that happening. There were more people in football stadiums and baseball stadiums and racetracks and golf courses today than what was in church today. Times 10. And I just don't know if I think we're on the downward slope. We're like the snowball going down the hill. It's just getting bigger and bigger. This same liberalism that is the Democratic Party today has infiltrated 50, 60 years ago the churches of America and has already killed them. Do you see any of them coming back from the brink? No, sir. They're dead and gone. They are dead and gone. And about the only way out is for the Lord Jesus to come and take us believers home and then allow God's biblical plan to unfold. You say, well, that just sounds like a conspiracy theory to me. My friend, you can call it what you want. I believe that the Bible reveals what is God's plan for this world and for the end times. And I do not know when Jesus is coming, but I do know that this book tells me he's coming. Amen. And when I can read the signs right here in the book, and then I can see the signs with my own eyes, that pretty well makes me realize it's not going to be long. The way things are set up in this world today, we have the perfect storm taking shape. Now, let me close. What if Obama loses and Romney becomes the president? What if? It is not going to change the fact that the radical Islamists still want America and Israel destroyed. that is not going to change. What if Romney wins the election? Well, it is not going to change the fact that the radicals, the Islamic radicals, want a caliphate. It is not going to change the fact that Iran is building a nuclear bomb and has publicly said multitudes of times that they want Israel annihilated. It does not change the fact that America is $16 trillion in debt. It does not change the fact that our nation is drunk and drugged. A cesspool of pornography and wickedness. That doesn't change at all. So who knows what God will do? I don't, but I know that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Folks, I tell you all of this because I want you to realize that God's in control. I don't know what's going to happen in the election. I know some things are not being told, and that's why I wanted to tell you those things tonight. And I hope that you realize the importance of going to the ballot box and casting your vote. If you don't vote, don't gripe. I do not know. But I know that you and I have to do the right thing. We have to serve God. And I know that we cannot sit idly by and allow these Chicago thugs to get reelected. Please vote. Please vote. Who knows if we'll even have an election? I hope we do. Who knows if it will be fair if we have one? You know, Mayor Daley from Chicago, his mantra was vote early, vote often. Every year they found thousands of dead people's votes. Every year. I know this much, I'm excited about what's happening in our world. Not because of the gloom and the doom and the fact that my house is worth $100,000 less than what it was 3.5 years ago. I'm never going to get to retire. Y'all stuck with me. I can see it now. I'm 80 years old walking up here. Take your Bible, please. I said, good grief. Can't we get rid of him? He's dead. He just hadn't fallen over yet. I'll never get to retire. My 401k is a 101k. But I'm excited about what could happen. I mean, Jesus, our Savior, could come. It is time for the people of God who know the Lord and who know the Bible and believe the Bible, stand up and let everybody know, wait a minute, I am going to do right. And quit hiding that you're a Christian. Quit hiding. You're on the winning side. It's time for the people that make this country work. It's time for the people who love America and who believe in freedom to stand up and take our country back from these people who obviously despise our country. And in the meantime, the world stage is set like it has never been set before for the Lord Jesus to come back for his church. So folks, these are exciting times. And I want you to just make up your mind that no matter what the headlines say, no matter what the lead story on the news is, no matter if they're reelected in the office, no matter what happens, you just realize that they don't run it, God does. You just realize that Congress doesn't run it, God does. You just realize that Michelle doesn't run it, God does. God's in control. And you just keep trusting the Lord. Because I promise you, folks, it's going to happen just like He said it's going to happen. So keep your chins up. All of them. Keep your chins up, John. And keep your eyes looking up. Because I don't think we got long. But until we hear that trumpet sound, folks, we got to stay by the stuff.